If you'll bow with me, we will now try to offer a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing that we have this morning, that we might approach you, the sovereign God of the universe. We thank you that by and through Jesus Christ, our prayers acceptance gain. And we just, Lord, we lay hold to that promise. And Lord, we beseech you, as the Father of lights, that you would bless us, Lord, with all those things that you know that we stand in need of. We bless, Lord, we ask, Lord, if it's your will, that you would bless around us as it were a hedge. And bless us, Lord, in the things that we face, that your protection would be over us. And that we would be protected from the things that seem to be all around about us today. Pray for your churches, your people, Lord, those that ask interest in our prayers. And bless us right now, Lord, that everything that we say would in first and foremost glorify you. And secondly, it would comfort God's children in this trying time that we're facing in. For these and all things, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, the one who we praise and adore, we say amen. In December 1776, about 6 months after the Declaration of Independence had been signed, America, its soldiers were engaged in a struggle with the British Army, and they were losing. In fact, it was highly conceivable, even probable, that America, as was known then at that time, would lose. It was at that time that the great American patriot, whose name was Thomas Paine, said, of that day, these are the times that try men's souls. You know, in some measure, we can feel that today. This is a trying time. This is a testing time. And you and I are faced with things today that, in my conversations with people, we said, this is unprecedented. We've never seen this before. As we try to grapple with a disease, this invisible enemy, and as our president has rightly said, this is war. And we're engaged in a warfare. And that aptly fits our description of where we're at. But you know, above and beyond that, it's up to us today to never lose our focus. Never lose our perspective. It's important for you and I to realize that God is still in control. He is in the heavens. He's the maker of this universe. And as Nebuchadnezzar said, none can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that that's our experience today? That in the face of all of this confusion that we see all around us, we can look beyond the clutter, beyond the fog, beyond the clouds. We can see God. We can see Jesus. That's for the comfort of God's children. These are trying times. And I think it's incumbent upon us as the ministry to try to speak to these issues as well as others. You know, the last two weeks, we tried to look at the comfort that we find from Psalms 91. And indeed, there is great comfort to God's children as we consider that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of his wing, of the Almighty. And that psalm is great comfort, as was Psalm 27 and Psalm 124. As we looked at all of those as they come together and they feed and they comfort God's little children. This morning, I feel encumbered upon me for us today as El Bethel Church and our friends to try to give some pastoral guidance in ways that we can handle this that we're faced with. And I think it's important that we do that. And the 62nd chapter, the prophecy of Isaiah, he's speaking to us some beautiful words. And in the 6th verse of the 62nd chapter, Isaiah writes, now this is speaking the language of God. Look what he says. 62:6, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So God gave a gift to his people. He set upon the walls watchmen. You know, that's what your ministry is today. They're watchmen on the walls. You know what a watchman does? He's a sentinel. He's a guard. He stands way high above and he's able to look on the outside and he's able to see troubles that might be coming our way, so that he can warn those that are inside of trouble that's coming. On some days, he's able to say, clear skies ahead. And on other days, he's able to say, bad storm clouds, bad troubles. The enemy is approaching. You know, we go over to the book of Revelation, and we find that the Lord told of the revelator John in that he described the ministry as a fourfold beast, one of those being an eagle. You know, what's one of the great attributes of an eagle is that that bird, majestic as she is, that's not what's under consideration. Her majesty is not what is what the focal point is there. The focal point is her vision or his vision. But that bird's able to soar way high above, and he's able to scope the landscape and scan everything there and see things that maybe those down below are not able to see. That watchman on the wall warns. He warns God's children. Storms are here. Storms are coming. Batten down the hatches. That's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm just doing what God has commanded me to do for the welfare and the care as the under-shepherd of this flock that abides here at this place. And we're faced with that right now. And even in the face of this pandemic that we're in, there are several levels of warfare which are going on. And we need to know about them so that we can act accordingly as that watchman on the wall. There was a 15th or 16th century political philosopher by the name of Machiavelli. You may have heard of him. He wrote The Prince, which is a study in politics and warfare. And, you know, you might have heard the expression, someone is Machiavellian in their approach. That means that there's a degree of shrewdness to what they see and how they apply things. And it's not always a compliment, but it's couched in reality. And one of the things that Machiavelli said in his day was, in his advice to those readers, he says, never let a good crisis go to waste. Never let a good crisis go to waste. There are political operatives that see times as confusion as a way for them to consolidate power. That's the nature of man. Power-hungry men to do just that. Brethren, there's also another one who is Machiavellian in his approach, and he seeks to consolidate power in the midst of confusion. And you know who it is? Satan himself. As I mentioned a moment, there are degrees of warfare. We've got our president and his team who we should be praying for, and all of those in authority that are trying to flatten the curve, as it were, and try to address this unseen war that's going on. But Satan is also working in the background. And he is aware that we as the church are not gathered together in one place so that our embers are burning together at one time and place. And he's not going to let that crisis go to waste. And you need to know about it. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. And we have to deal with that today. And my job as a watchman is to help guide God's children as best I can through this that we face. There will be an end to it. This too shall pass. Well, it will. This too shall pass. But we don't desire for Satan to come in and out of chaos pluck off God's little ones. That's the fear of your entire ministry today, wherever she's located. That's why God's ministers are so diligent to be doing everything that they can to preach the word, to be instant, in season and out of season, that you and I, as the church, might do these things that will help bind us together, even through this unprecedented time. So this morning, if it's the Lord's will, I want to lay out three principles that I feel like we need to do in order to deal with our enemy who seeks in the face of confusion to draw us away. In fact, it's interesting that all three of these, you're not unfamiliar with any of these. You've heard them all preached by many able elders over the course of our lives. So this is not anything new. But you know what's important? It's important that we execute what we know we should be doing. Study was done several years ago about businesses that fail. And the failure of business very seldom related to a lack of knowledge of what to do. They knew what to do, but the deficiency was most of the time predominantly not a failure of knowledge or a plan. It's a failure of execution. We just don't do what we know we're supposed to do. So, if it's the Lord's will this morning, we're going to look at three things that you're totally familiar with that are part of the armor that we have that would help us through this trial and bind us together as God's people, as the church that He has given to us. And it's a blessing, isn't it? Isn't the church a wonderful thing? It's the gift of God. The first one, prayer. Pray. Don't you like that bumper sticker? It's time to pray. Amen. It's time to pray. I've had someone tell me before, Brother Jerry, I just really don't know if I know how to pray. Yeah, you do. You do. Can you talk? Can you talk to the Lord? If you can talk to anyone around you, you can talk to the Lord. And you don't have to be in a certain... Now, to be private and to be sealed off where it's just you and the Lord in communion, that's a wonderful and a glorious thing. But you and I can be in a mode of prayer in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. You can even be in prayer out on the interstate highway. Just you and the Lord, eyes wide open, I hope. But you can pray to the Lord with your eyes wide open. You can commune with Him. And you can sup with Him. And you can lift up to Him all of your cares and your desires and the things that we need to bring to this Lord that we love. He's always there. Paul told the church at Thessalonica in his first epistle to them, he told them several things. One of them was, pray without ceasing. You mean, am I supposed to be praying all the time? I believe what Paul is telling us in this is that we should be in our lives today in a certain attitude of prayer. We should have about us the attitude of gratitude wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, and at a moment's notice, I can say, thank you, Lord. You know, that's a prayer. If you were blessed with something, is there anything wrong with you saying, Lord, thank you for that? That's a prayer. You're thanking the Lord for what He has given to you in whatever level that might be. And you know what that does with the Lord? It delights Him. It pleases God for you and I to do that. Prayer. The Lord told us. In fact, we go through the New Testament. Actually, we go through the four Gospels and we find in the Lord's experience, and I'm not going to count them up, I'll let you do it, but you go through there and you find how many times the Lord told His people, watch and pray. Watch and pray. That was repeatedly said. That was repeatedly done as a continuing mantra. Must be important, must it not? For the Lord to say, watch and pray. But go with me to a parable that the Lord gave us in Luke chapter 18 that relates to this subject that we're looking at. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. He's saying here, watch and pray. Always pray and don't faint. And He gives this story, and you're familiar with this. Look what it is. This is what the Lord said. There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man, and was there a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me, mine adversary. And he would not. He didn't care. He was a corrupt judge, and he had no regard for either those that had put him in the position. He had no regard for the Lord, or those in authority over him, or those even he was supposed to be serving. He was self-obsessed. It's all about him. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God. Now this is a story, a parable that the Lord's giving to illuminate a strong point to you and me today. He says, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. I'm going to do what she wants because she's bothering me. I want her to go away. And she's so persistent and she is persevering and staying with me. I want her to go away. Give her what she wants so she'll get out of here. I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord poses this question. He said, shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? He says, I tell you, that He will avenge them speedily, quickly. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Will He find that kind of persistence in prayer? Prayer is important, brethren. Prayer is important today. I mentioned, I believe it was last week, that God hears the prayers of His children. He hears the prayers for those who His blood bought. He cares for you. And He always answers. You remember I gave you the three possible answers last week. I won't do it again. But He always answers in one of three ways. And it's that way today, brethren. Pray. Men ought to always pray and never faint. Looking to the Lord. Remember, watch and pray. Watch and pray. You have direct access to the throne room of God. You don't have to go through a checkpoint. You don't have to have your ID checked. You don't have to do any of these things that we have to do nowadays for security. You have direct access by your birthright because you're a child of the King. You can approach that throne room and Jesus is there and He says, Father, hear their prayer. That's mine. I died for him. I died for her. God's always heard the prayer of His people. History tells us that just before World War I, England, the British Isles, were fixing to engage against Germany. And they saw what was coming. And the country was preparing for a great war that they did not know the outcome of. The king at that time had declared a national day of prayer and supplication to the Lord. The interesting thing about it is the president in that day was a man named Woodrow Wilson. You probably remember his name. And Wilson went over to London before the war when they knew that it was coming. And he consulted with the prime minister of the day. He was a man named David Lloyd George. He was a Welshman. He was a Baptist. He was actually the last of the Liberal Party prime ministers. So they were in consultation of this impending war that was fixing to come on, and they got through there at the prime minister's residence, and it was about evening, about 6 p.m. that night. And the prime minister said, Mr. President, let's go for a walk. Let's walk down the way a little bit. So they proceeded down one of the streets of Whitehall where the government is seated in London. And they came upon a chapel. And it was crammed full of people at 6 p.m. And they were in prayer. They were beseeching God for His presence and His guidance and His providential arm upon this nation at a time that tried men's souls. And Wilson and David Lloyd George sat there throughout that prayer service. At the end of it, they got up and walked out. The prime minister turned to Wilson and he says, that's why we're going to win. Wow. That's the victory that we're going to have, and God will give it to us. It's time to pray. May we be in that same mode of urgency of prayer. Lord, help us. Help us in this hour of need that we face. Help me, Lord, face this enemy that wants to pull me away from this little kingdom that You've given. Lord, pray that in my life, the more I miss church, the more I miss church. You know, prayer is a gift. Prayer is a blessing. I'm not going to take any time to do it, but go to Ephesians chapter 6 and we find the whole armor of God. You know, we have the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We have all of these armaments that we have in order to fight the good fight, that we might, as Paul told Timothy, we might war a good warfare. But you know, the interesting thing about it is after all of those armaments are discussed, what does he say? Praying always. In other words, with all of the equipment that you have, that we pray. That we pray. We watch and pray. So you who are in possession of those, and by the way, by virtue of your birthright, you have those. And we have to cultivate them. You have faith by your birth. But it's required of us to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. These are some things that we have to work at. And God blesses us to do these things as we fight this good fight that we're faced with. As we conclude this view of prayer, it's another thing's important. You know, have you ever prayed to the Lord for something and He gave it to you and you didn't realize what it even done? I have. I've been that way. I've prayed to the Lord for something and He was giving it to me and I didn't even know it. He's that good. He's that great. Acts chapter 12. We find that Peter's there and he is in maximum security in the prison. He's sleeping with two soldiers on either arm. He wasn't getting away. And you know what happened? An angel came there. Everything that was on him fell off. The first door opened. He walked through it. The second door opened. He walked through it. He got to the point, he was on the street in front of the prison. God was that great. Why did that happen? Because before that, we find that the church was in someone's home and they were praying for Peter. Remember, Herod was vexing those certain ones of the church. The church was being vexed. God answered that prayer. Now, here's the humorous part, and really, you know, there's funny things in Scripture. And, you know, this is funny, but then it's not funny, because sometimes I fall in this trap. Peter walks to the house. Rhoda answers the door. She thinks it's a ghost. She thinks it's a ghost or an angel that's made to look like Peter. And he's knocking at the door, and she runs back in to see the family and says, something's wrong here. Didn't even realize that their prayers had been answered. Are we ever that way? Yes, we are. Lord, we beseech you by your mercies. And Lord, in your mercy and in your abounding grace, when you bless us, Lord, help these poor, weak minds to understand just what wonderful things you've done for us. The second thing that we have here is His Word. His Word. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners. I believe I got that right. I don't want to misquote that. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I'm sorry. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate both night and day. This is God's word that he has given to us. And that man, he shall be like a tree. The man that eats up the word, that eats up the book. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You know what he is? He's profitable. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what God tells us. You know, we go over to Ezekiel. I haven't been to Ezekiel very often, but we go to the third chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and there's an admonition that's given to the prophet that would apply to you and I as well. Look at chapter 2, verse 9, then we're going to go into 3. And when I looked, and behold, this is the prophet. And when I looked, and behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written there lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Brethren, that would be my admonition and encouragement to you. Eat the book. Eat it up. Eat the book. And go and speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he calls me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Wow. It's nutritious. Make thee wise unto salvation. That's what Paul told Timothy about this word. He said, study, son. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. That's what you and I today... Now, although that was to a young preacher, that's to all of us. That admonition is to all of us. Eat it up. It's healthy. It'll help us along life's pathway in the rough spots. I'm going to tell you a quick story, because it's important. In fact, I hadn't thought about this story in years, but it's applicable to what we're looking at. My dad served a time in the U.S. Army between World War II and Korea. His stint was in there, and he never saw battle, but he was in the U.S. Army, and he was a master sergeant. And it was his responsibility to be over a group of men. And he was responsible for some of their training. And he noticed that after a while, there were about 3 men in his group that just never could make it. They'd be at attention and they'd fall flat out on the pavement. And they'd have to go drag them up and send them to somewhere and get them revived. And this went on and went on for a while. So, you know, these same men that just couldn't seem to cut it, that otherwise appeared to be strong men. So he gets to inquiring, well, what's going on here? So he got to watching them. And it would come mealtime. And they'd all go to the mess hall, and everybody would go down the line and would get the good, healthy A rations. You know what an A ration is, okay? They got the A rations of the fresh, nutritious, good food, and they would eat it, everybody else would, but these 3 guys said, oh, we don't like that. We don't like that. So what would they do? They'd go find them a Coke machine and a couple of packets of Nabs. And that's what they lived on. And he got to quiz them. He said, oh, we just don't like this food here. He said, well, I really don't care if you like it or not. He said, I'm ordering you to go down the line and eat some food. They didn't like it, but they did it. What's your point, Brother Jerry? Brethren, if you're trying to live off of cokes and nabs in the spiritual world, you're going to fall flat out on the concrete. It's not going to work. What's the admonition? Eat the book. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Eat up the book. It's what we're supposed to do today. My time is up. I didn't get through with the third one. But the third one relates intimately to the church. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll look at this again next week as we look at these three bullet points that we're given to guide us through these times that try men's souls. I pray for you next week. I miss seeing everybody. I'll be honest with you. My grandmother used to write my mother years ago when she was off at school, and she'd send her these letters. She says, I'm hungry to see you, Coot. That's what she called her. I'm hungry to see you. But you know, this will pass. And we're doing what we should do. We just need to look to the Lord. Because I'm hungry to see you. When the body can gather together as the Lord intended it. We can not forsake the assembling of the brethren together. Bow with me. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word that you've given to us. That you've given within this word, Lord, all the precepts that we need, Lord. You've given unto us all things, according to Peter, that pertain unto life and godliness. And you've given them to us, Lord. Give us the strength and the courage and the wisdom and the fortitude to grab hold of them. Lay hold upon them. That we, Lord, might be strengthened in our walk while we're here. That we might have a closer walk with you. That we might seek to serve those around us in these trying and dark days. Go with us now through this week, Lord. Be with each one of us in a very special way. And Lord, until we gather again next time, may you visit us, each one of us, with the wonder of your presence. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.